Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. That's right, cats and kitty cats and cool cats and ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Michael Dean. It's Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And our other co-host tonight is the debut of Lusander Fiend. Where are you broadcasting from, Lusander?
Hi, Michael. This is Lusander Fiend, and I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless city, also known as Detroit, also known as the Failed State Project. And How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, brother. And when you say a windowless city, you don't mean like a windowless underground bunker. You mean like all the windows are broken in that city, right?
Exactly. It's a Keynesian dream.
Yeah, doesn't that create prosperity?
Well, if like my old meme goes, if broken windows create prosperity, Detroit would be paved in gold.
I like that. Like my old meme says, it sounds like you're talking about your great granny. Like my old meme said, my meemaw. Yeah, man. Yeah. So, what's your microphone there?
I have the Audio-Technica 2005 USB microphone, which I am very happy to say was sent to me by my good friend Michael W. Dean and the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, this is a teaching hospital here, and if you're really good at the teaching hospital, you get a free nurse's outfit or microphone. I think did we get the nurse's outfit for you or not?
I had to order from the special catalog for that one.
Because you have your oddly shaped foot, right?
Yes, the wages of Fina's microphone.
It is. It really is. So we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. We are going to give out the number if Randy, our crack research team and board op and part-time swabber there at the studio. He's a janitor, and they let him play with the board when I'm on the air because they're like, nobody listens to that, man. We can put him on. No, I'm kidding. We're on the radio, and it's good. We're on the radio in Cairo, Illinois, the little Detroit. No, I probably shouldn't describe it as that, but it's a cool little town. It's on the border of Kentucky. It's near Paducah, Kentucky. We're on the radio in Paducah, Kentucky, and the LRNs, the Liberty Radio Networks, and the Genesis Communications Network. And now that everyone's been called home and the cows are all in the barn, we can actually start the show proper. Randy, can you unbusy out the phones? Oh, I see you have. I didn't know that you guys had the mind reading software installed there at GCN. I guess you do. So we're going to give out the telephone number. People want to call in live. It's 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or you can Skype to Kitty Feet 1, like the feet of a cat. Kitty Feet 1, number 1. So, Lou, what's first on the agenda tonight? You got some good topics here.
I thought we would engage in some unlicensed discussion about unlicensed cooking.
All right. So, some agorist, illegal, not necessarily illegal, but not legal, quasi-legal cooking. What you got, man? What's cooking?
Well, really, since you have to have a license for darn near anything today, that's why I used unlicensed. I wasn't specifically talking about agorism, but since you bring it up, the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be going on this August 22nd through 25th. That's Friday morning at 10 a.m. at 10 a.m. until Monday at noon, and there will be a large number of people that will be preparing food and offering their goodies and edibles, and it's going to be a pretty good time. And you can go to miplc.org for that and get more information. Registration starts, I believe, the 31st.
And you're going to be doing some unlicensed broadcasting to the licensed radio stations we're on. You're going to be doing some Freedom Fiends Man on the Street live there too, right?
Yeah, Fiend in the Field.
Fiend in the Field. And would you also be able to do a Michael Dean After Dark? Is it Sunday night? You there? Monday morning?
I'll be there Sunday night. Whether I'll be able to do an after dark, I don't know, because we'll have to get into the office there to use the internet. Unless, of course, I can hook into somebody's Wi-Fi hotspot.
All right.
Which is a possibility.
It's a possibility. Yeah, and give out that web address again so people can find that.
That's MIPLC.org. Mike, India, Papa, Lima, Charlie.org.
You were in the Army, weren't you?
Yes, I was. And we'll talk about that later.
The only people that know NATO alphabet are people that were in the military or ham radio operators. I found that out because when I call radio stations, people don't know what a fiend is. You know, people on radio. Radio's kind of old school. They don't know a fiend means a fiend. And I say, yeah, it's Michael from the Freedom Fiends. And they're like, what? And I say, freedom. And then I say, second word, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. And if they instantly get it, I go, oh, were you in the military? You a ham radio operator. And a lot of times they're ham radio operators. A lot of them run radio stations. But if they go, what? It's almost like they're more annoyed. And it sounds like they wish I just spelled it out randomly instead of commandingly. Like if I said, like, you know, Freddie, Ethel, Ernie, Nancy, Sammy, you know, then they'd get it. I don't know.
Yeah, I grew up around ham radio. My father was a ham radio operator. He might still be, but he lives way down south now where they only get a fraction of the snow and cold weather that we get. But I'd learned the Morse codes when I was a kid. Didn't much care for it. Didn't really understand the point of it. It was like, why can't you just talk?
Yeah, because it was invented before you could just talk on radio, when you couldn't really modulate a signal other than a beep. And it's pretty useful to know too. I mean, there's actually a movie where that comes in handy, and it's like there's some plane that's being hijacked, and there's another plane following them, and somebody somebody rigs the taillights and like cuts the wires and is clicking them together to spell out like what's really going on the plane. And the other plane knows that there's U.S. Marines on the plane, because nobody could possibly know Morse code except U.S. Marines.
Yeah. And also it was in The Hunt for Red October, too.
Ah, yeah.
And I'm not trying to go back into any residual statism, but it was Army Special Forces. It wasn't Jarheads. These guys could read and write.
Ouch.
One of my coworkers is a former Marine, and I have to tease him about that all the time. He has a bachelor's degree, so I says, I'm surprised you didn't make general.
Oh, man. Man. Okay, so there's another thing we got going on, which is the Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, fundraising event to get him to Porkfest. He's been invited to speak at Porkfest, but can't afford it. He's got to drive. He drives his, you know, he lives in a big, giant Wormabago that gets about like 40 gallons to the mile, and it's going to cost him about $1,000 in gas and tolls to get there and back, and we'd like to raise a little more so he can do it in comfort. And he was talking today about like retiring, like, I don't know if it's worth it. And I was like, I'm going to prove to you that people care about you. He wasn't feeling sorry for himself, just kind of like, what's the point? And I was like, I'm going to get you the money to go to Porkfest. And I set this up while I was talking to him on the phone. And the goal is $2,000, and it's a 21-day period. And we've raised 450 of that. We've raised almost a quarter of the 21-day goal in like 7 hours or something. So go to badquaker.com or go to the Freedom Fiends blog and click on the link to go to Indiegogo and donate any amount. We also take Bitcoin and Namecoin.
Now, also, if anybody hasn't met Ben yet in person, especially if they're planning on going to Porkfest, he's really a great guy. He's not the great man, but he is a great guy with a great podcast. And I met him last year at the first Liberty Fest, and I had the opportunity to sit around and talk with him and just shoot the bull, and you know, just an awesome guy.
And you can win prizes too with this. You can win, if you donate $25, you get buttons. $100, you get buttons and stickers. $250, you get t-shirt, buttons, and stickers. And then we put this in kind of as a joke, but we're serious too. We have a package called The Big Kahuna, and we're giving one of these away. If you donate $10,000, you get my RE20 microphone and shock mount, $600 value, plus all the perks from the t-shirt, button, and stickers package. The mic will be signed to you by me and Ben. Ben, by Ben and I. And you'll get Ben and his wife to Porkfest in style. You'll also get his best friend, me, and my wife to Porkfest. And we'll finally get to meet in person. And we'll fly the person who makes the donation out to Porkfest, too. That's the big kahuna, man.
And how much is the big kahuna?
It's $10,000. And I called into Free Talk Live about this today, Mark Edge was really sick. He actually left the show early. And they were talking about how in North Korea now there's a law that everybody has to have the same haircut as the dear leader. And I asked Mark Edge I said, I'll donate $10 to this if Mark goes home and lets me do the rest of the show for him. And he wouldn't do it. And I said, Mark sounded like he was dying. He was coughing, like even when his mic was muted, you heard it on other mics. And then I said, well, how about this, Mark? If I raise $10,000 for Ben, will you get a Kim Jong-il haircut, Kim Jong-un haircut at Porkfest in front of everybody? And he said, if you raise $10,000 on this thing, I'll get any haircut anyone wants me, whoever donates wants me to get at Porkfest. So here's your chance to get Mark Edge to get a really bad, weird haircut in front of people.
Well, I should have mentioned that I have some clippers, too, and I used to cut hair a little bit. I know, like, basically two styles.
I used to do at punk rock show. I had some dog clippers, and I'd bring them to punk rock shows where I was playing back in Virginia. And we did this a lot. We would set up at a table and have a sign, hand scrawled sign that said 25-cent haircuts, money back guarantee.
Well, since you mentioned dog clippers, that takes me up to three styles.
What's that?
I know. Styles. I do three styles. Yeah.
Yeah. The point was with what we did was we'd intentionally mess it up and then give them their 25 cents back.
Well, so, I can't see punk rockers doing that.
Yeah.
No, never.
It got very creative. I actually, one time they shaved my head while I was on stage playing with my band, the Beef People. And I was playing guitar and they were shaving my head and I was getting electrocuted like through my hair. It was pretty cool. I was pretty drunk. I don't drink anymore. But I don't care if you do. I think heroin should be legal and available in vending machines. We'll be back after this trip to the market where there is no heroin in vending machines yet, but there might be at Porkfest, but I doubt it.
You were destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah, Michael Dean After Dark. Calming the hamster in your brain since 2 weeks ago. You know, they say that war is no picnic, but soldiers do end up eating outdoors a lot. So talk about food services in the Army there, Lysander, and then we'll get into some agorist cooking.
Okay. And once again, thanks for having me on board tonight. I'm happy to be the hamster rotating on a spit.
Yeah, man, that's you tonight.
Yeah. I spent a lot of my early adult years working in food service. I started out my Army career as a cook. Well, I can't really call it a career, but I started off as a cook. And
I feel safer already.
Well, you should. You should. Hey, Army cook, death from within. But when I was in high school, I worked in a few different restaurants as a line cook. So I got like a little basic of preparation of doing a whole bunch of stuff all at one time, a whole bunch of different things all at one time. And then when I got to the Army, it was doing, you know, just a couple things, but a lot of it, you know, like preparing meals for up to 1,500 people, which
you could feed an army.
Yes, I could. Not the whole one, but at least a battalion.
You know, you asked me during the break, you said, well, Michael, you were a musician, so what food service jobs did you have? And actually, I didn't have any. I always worked in bars. I mean, it was the same kind of lowly level. But, you know, I was an alcoholic, so I gravitated towards, like, jobs where I could drink what was left in people's glasses. You know, I was a bar back. I was a, oh, did the posters for bars, did helped with the promotion, just helped carry, just basically things that, like, a smart monkey could do, probably.
Yeah. When I was in Germany, this was after I got out of the Army and I was living there, I worked at a bar. It was called the Green Goose in Ansbach. And I was a bar back, doorman, bouncer, worked as a DJ a couple of times. It was a hoot.
You didn't ever see that band, The Monks, or was that way before your time?
That may have been before my time.
Do you know about The Monks?
No, it's not ringing any bells.
It was actually, way before your time. It was a 60s like punk band, like garage punk band that dressed up like monks. They were American GIs that like just stayed over there after their commission was done. And dated or married German girls and stayed in the country and played bands and played in a band and got popular. The Monks. There's video on YouTube. It's awesome.
You'd be surprised how many people did that.
Yeah. We were in Schweinfurt with my band Bomb. We were there a month rehearsing for a European tour. And we went almost every morning to, I forget the name of the place, but it was a restaurant that was incredibly popular with the American GI station there. And it was run by a GI who'd met a German woman and fallen in love and married her. And they made like German/American breakfast, which is basically the same thing. Just the German has more fat poured on it. And the soldiers loved it, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When were you over there?
1990.
Okay.
August.
I got there on my first military tour in March of 89. So I was there when the wall came down, and then I left in August of 92. Desert Storm.
I was not there when the wall came down, but I was there on reunification day, which was like 10 months later probably.
Yeah. And then I went back in February of 93 as a civilian. And my old roommate, Dave, he had been stationed up in Schweinfurt, and when he got out, he went back to Schweinfurt. Then he came down to Ansbach to where I was at.
Yeah, Schweinfurt means pig town in German, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be a pig town. It still is it's a farming community. It's kind of small. I mean, it's the kind of place that, like, if you're hanging out in Berlin or Munich and they're like, where are you guys going next? Where's your band going? And you say Schweinfurt, they laugh. You know, it'd be kind of like if you were going from L.A. and you were going to, oh, I don't know, Ukiah, California, or, you know, or like Tuscaloosa, Alabama or something.
Yeah, but I know a lot of those towns over there are kind of farm towns like that. Ansbach, which is sister cities with Bay City, Michigan, not too far from me. Yeah, useless knowledge if I go on Jeopardy. There's a lot of farmland around there, and in the city itself, it's not so rural and farmy. But once you get on the outskirts, which takes maybe 10 minutes to go from one end to the other. You got the pig farms and the cornfields and all that other stuff. And it's really neat. It's kind of rough to walk through drunk at 4 a.m, but.
Schweinfurt is still kind of bombed out from World War II. Like, there's a lot of things they haven't repaired there. There's some things that they've left unrepaired as sort of a never forget thing. But the reason that town was bombed so much is because there was a huge ball bearing factory there, and it's still there. And the name of it is FAG. There's actually a giant building there with huge letters on it that just says FAG. And people go take their picture in front of it because it's cute. All right, we'll be back.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is Michael Dean, and it's After Dark. If you want to call in, the number is 1-855-660-4261. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you up and you'd like to share that hamster in your brain with us, you may. And we're going to talk a little bit about agorism. And let me define agorism really quick here. It's people say it like it's their politics. It's not politics. Like people say, what are you? Oh, I'm an agorist. It's a strategy. You know, it's kind of like you could be most agorists are, you know, ANCAPs or voluntarists or libertarians, but it basically means someone who intentionally doesn't interact with the state, who does that as little as possible in a financial way, as a strategy. And I don't really see it as a realistic strategy, and I'm not an agorist. I'm not knocking it, but it's like, I think, you know, a couple hundred people not paying their taxes is not going to bring down the state. I think education is going to bring down the state because it's going to teach people that they don't need masters, that they don't need a king. And I think things like Bitcoin do it too. And, you know, agorist cooking or like just having a party and not worrying about the permits or whatever. What do you think there, Lou?
Well, agorism is an effective strategy, but there's not one silver bullet that's going to take down that filthy, wart-covered beast. It's going to be a lot of things. And one of the reasons that I would go into agorism, if I were so inclined to do so, would be because it's such a pain in the butt to comply with all the rules, regulations, laws, declarations, codes, ordinances, stipulations, and everything else. I mean, the government just makes life so difficult.
The government just broke your brain. Well, let's go to the phone call. There's somebody here who wants to yak. That was a great libertarian rant sentence. That list was great. I think it just kind of twisted your brain thinking about it, though, because it hurts. So we're going to go to the phone and talk to Christopher, who wants to talk about the documentary Dirty Wars. I've seen this. Have you seen it, Lou?
Yes, I have.
All right, Christopher, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael. Hey, Lysander. And yeah, those feisty libertarian rants will do that to you, Lou.
Thanks, anyways, Christopher. How you doing?
Hey, doing all right. Doing all right. Glad to hear you. I'm Michael Dean After Dark. Hey, so yeah, I was calling, obviously, about Dirty Wars. I just finally got around to watch next day. Threw it on Netflix a couple weeks back, which I would recommend to anybody and everybody to watch that documentary. I myself was in Iraq for between 2004 and 2005.
You were there as a tourist? You and your wife just decided, let's go over there. It's nice this time of year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That lovely border between Syria and Iraq. There's so much to see out there.
How'd you end up there?
Well, when I was, heck, it must have been a sophomore when 9/11 happened. After that, I was all gung-ho and patriotic cowboy, want to, you know, go in the military and do what you got to do and all that good stuff. And so at 17, like an idiot, I signed up and, you know, short. We've actually kind of funny story. The recruiter, so 17, so they have parents sign off on it. And recruiter looks at my mom when I'm sitting there signing the papers and having her sign off on it. She says, "Well, I'm really worried about all this desert stuff that's going on. Is he gonna be okay?" My recruiter looks her square in the eyes and says, "Molly, he's got about 15 weeks of solid training ahead of him. This whole Middle East thing will be long done and over with by the time he gets out."
Do you think he actually believed that, or do you think he was just lying to her?
Oh, you're totally lying to her. I mean, they told me I was being dune buggies and whatnot since I was a scout, and I never saw one of those the whole time I was in.
They make it sound like it's going to be like a Beach Boys video or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just like Call of Duty kind of thing, you know? Yeah, right.
So you didn't really end the war on terror?
No, from last I heard, the whole thing was still going on, so I'm pretty sure my efforts are a moot point.
I think when they said that it was only going to last a short amount of time, I think there were a lot of people that actually believed that. There were also a lot of people that believed that after all the equipment was deployed and everybody was put into place, that there was still a possibility for the war to not happen, that everybody would come to their senses and not blow the living daylights out of Iraq and destroy it with depleted uranium and destroy all the infrastructure and everything else. And, you know, once you get to a point of when they're setting up troops and getting positions and getting the attack plan ready, they're not backing down. Right. Nothing's stopping them.
Yeah.
Once you get going, once the gears of war start turning there, it's really it's almost impossible to slow them down. And that's kind of what I was starting to figure out watching that documentary, Dirty War. Admittedly, I didn't see about the last 15 minutes of it.
It's horribly depressing, man. That thing is pummeling. My wife had to leave the room during it. She was just like, well, her son's in the army too, so it didn't make her feel happy about anything. But yeah, it was just pummeling.
Well, that's what I kind of noticed, and I didn't get the last few minutes of it, so I'm not sure what the final message of the documentary was, but I kind of got the idea when he's talking about those 50 first cards with all the different terrorists on them, and then they got through those 50, and I was actually there for those 50 cards, but then it turned into 200 names, then it turned into 3,000 names, and so I'm not sure if they ever got around to what they thought JSOC's whole intention was in doing what they're doing over there, but one thing was certain, it's they're just creating more enemies the longer it goes on. And we were told that ourselves when we were over there, and we had our briefings before missions, and they said, look, most of these people here are on the fence, and you got to watch what you do out there because you're going to push them on one side to the other side of the fence. When they go over to one side, it might wind up an explosion the next week. So I'd say there's probably many times, many fold over more terrorists or insurgents, or if you want to call it now, than there was at the beginning of the war.
Oh, yeah. I'm not backing anything that anyone does violent over there. But you think about it. You think about when the U.S. drops a drone bomb on a wedding party to kill one guy they think is a bad guy, and they kill, 100 people who all have families. And it's like, okay, average American, what would you do if someone murdered your wife and kids? You would do anything possible to murder everyone connected with them for vengeance. I mean, it's just untenable, unstoppable, and when people don't look at it, people look at it like, oh, those dirty people, they're all bad, we need to kill them all. And it's like, most people in the world just want to go about their day. They just want to earn a living. They just want to take care of their family. They just want to love their wife and kids and make a better life for their kids than they had. That is a universal thing throughout history. When you think about those people over there shooting at Americans, think about, if you're someone who likes the movie Red Dawn, it's that in reverse. It's an invading outside force taking over your country and acting like they own the place and wanting to kill a lot of you, whether you're a bad guy or not, just kill them all. And it's like, what American would not respond in that way if that happened here?
Michael, you bring up a really good point. Sorry to cut you off, Chris. If you really want a good representation that Americans can understand about what's going on over there, look to the movie The Outlaw Josie Wales. Clint Eastwood's character was happy living his life with his wife and son. He was a farmer, and the Red Legs come in and they burned his farm down. They killed his wife and kid, and he went off and became the outlaw Josie Wales, fighting the Union soldiers. And going back to what Chris was saying about how the deck goes from 52 cards to 100 cards to 200 cards,
to 10,000.
Yeah, to 10,000. When they had all the rebels at the Union camp and they slaughtered them, and the senator says, "All right, Captain Bloody Bill, go out there and get everything that's disloyal to the Union, from a Durham cow to a Shanghai rooster," and and somebody says, "Doing good ain't got no end."
Yeah, and for those who don't know, when we're talking about these cards, these are something that are issued to U.S. soldiers. This goes back to the Vietnam War. They issue playing cards, and on the back of them, or is it on the front of them? I think it's like, the king is Osama, and they go down in rank as to how important of a target they are. It's to get you to recognize certain people that you're supposed to kill on sight. And the ridiculousness of this is that, most Americans think they all look the same. So they're basically going to be wanting to kill anyone who looks remotely like any of these people.
Yeah, look, he has a mustache. Open fire.
Yeah, he has a beard. Yeah, what's that? What's that, Chris?
So yeah, it's a good amount of the detainees. I mean, I don't know how many people that we detained just because they looked like somebody that we were supposed to detain. Held them for a week or two, and either they took off elsewhere to where I don't know where, maybe Abu Ghraib, or who knows, or we finally released them back into the population. But there's always a lot of concern, and then we'd be forced to watch those guys that we released back into the village or whatever. They became a person of interest only because of the fact that we really screwed up their day by throwing them in a confinement tent for 2 weeks.
Because they hated you. I mean, think about, like, if you were in your, you know, if you were on your way to work and someone from another nation kidnapped you and held you for 2 weeks and then let you go, regardless of whether they treated you poorly or not, you'd hate those people, you know? You'd be out to do something to them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I guess what I kind of wanted to, the point I was trying to get at with the whole documentary is a question, you know, and again, since it's at the end, I don't know maybe they answered this for us or not, but it's obvious that the more that the Western powers interfered and intervened in the Middle East, the more problems it's causing, the more enemies they're creating because of things that they're doing. But the question I'm always wondering, I'm not one for conspiratorial things or whatnot, but is it because they don't know how to stop, because they only, you know, they have a hammer and everything looks like a nail, and they don't know how to stop, or they keep playing whack-a-mole, creating new moles to pop up? Or is it that it's something intentional because they can do some sort of Orwellian keep us in a constant war state?
I think the answer is yes to all of that.
I agree. Yeah. I'm going to invoke a little bit of Bill Buport with his Hanlon's razor. Never attribute to malice which can be adequately explained with stupidity.
Yeah.
All right.
And to be clear again, I'm not defending any Middle Eastern terrorists, not by a long shot. I'm basically saying the ongoing, never-ending war on terror is creating more reason for a war on terror. It is literally a vicious cycle. And that's kind of the point of this movie, Dirty Wars. It's an inside look. It's interviews with a lot of people who've been, you know, involved in JSOC or involved in other things. And they're, you know, very, very afraid to be on camera, but some of them are on camera without shadows, you know, with their own name. And my hat's off to them for doing it. But it's a mind blowing documentary. It's called Dirty Wars, and I can't recommend it enough. Go to
Netflix now.
It's on Netflix. Yep. Go watch it. So you got anything else, Christopher?
No, that's all. Appreciate taking my call, Mike. Cool,
Luke. Cool, man.
Worms. Thanks for calling, Christopher.
Worms. That was cool, man. That was cool.
Yeah. One of the things about war, and when I went in, the Russians were still the enemies and the Iraqis were the allies, and that switched by the time I got out. I'll go into that a little bit more when we come back from the market.
All right. Michael Dean After Dark.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. This is Michael Dean After Dark. If you want to call in, the number is 1-855-660-4261. That spells 1-855 hamster in your brain. No, it's 1-855-660-4261. So if the hamster in your brain will not let you sleep, call us and tell us about it. So Lusander Fiend, you were talking about military service and how patriotic it made you feel and your heart flushed with pride.
Actually, no, I wasn't talking about feeling patriotic. If anything, I felt like a fool. One of the things, and I started this before we went to market, when I went in, the Soviet Union was the U.S.'s enemy, and Saddam Hussein was the U.S. ally. Huh. And by the time I got out, Saddam Hussein was the enemy, and Russian Federation troops were training at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
That's like the book 1984. Like, they keep switching the enemy in that book, right?
Yes. We've always been at war with East Asia.
Yeah.
But one of the things, and this goes back to what Christopher talked about with dirty wars, one of the things that's used to sell people on the idea of war is that they're different. Now, when you're talking about the Middle East or Southeast Asia, the Stans and all these other places, it's really easy because they look different from Americans. They're brown people, yellow people, whatever. They look different, and I do believe that there's an inherent racism in there, especially with the different epithets that are thrown out there.
They look like Nima.
Yeah.
They all look like Nima.
And Nima's an awesome guy.
Yeah, he is, man.
I look forward to meeting him at Porkfest next year.
I've met him.
Yes.
I've met him because I haven't seen him in person in so long, and I talk to him almost every day and do radio with him. And I have so many friends now that I've never met, like you and Ben Stone and 50 other people. I hope to go to Porkfest at least someday because I could meet all of them. I'm kind of itching to try to go this year, but I don't think I have the money.
I'm going to try this year, but I'm definitely going next year. But going back to the whole thing about the Soviets, when you look at Russians and the Eastern Europeans and Western Europeans for that matter, they don't look a whole lot different from Americans. So how do you get somebody to hate somebody that looks like them and you can't really see the differences? You talk about, they're communists. And I grew up hearing about the communist threat and how they were going to come over here and communize us. And I had no idea what communism was because, the state indoctrination camps don't actually teach you anything except pledge allegiance to a magic textile.
You have to remember, anyone who likes the Pledge of Allegiance should remember, look it up. It was written by a socialist, and he was also a guy who was in the business of selling flags. So he literally wrote that as a socialist pledge to sell flags.
Yeah, a Christian socialist at that. Francis Bellamy. It was written in 1893. Yep. And the original Bellamy salute for doing the flag, doing the pledge.
The Nazi salute.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Nazis got it from us, and then we discarded it. You know what else they got from us? I don't even want to say us. I wasn't even alive. But medical experimentation on prisoners, that began in America. And Hitler thought it was a good idea and instituted it on a much wider scale over there.
Yeah, the eugenics programs. Yeah. But here's the really interesting. Let me tie all this stuff up. When I was over in Germany, I met folks from East Germany, which was supposed to be a communist country, and it was. I met Russians. I met Eastern Europeans. I met people from all over the place. And for those of you that use the Facebooks and you have these friends all over, it's very easy to understand that people are people. And basically, the world over, just about everybody hates the government that they're forced to live under. Let's build on that.
Yeah. It's not – I mean, no – the people of a nation have no choice in what their nation does. I mean, they can probably vote for like this tyrant or that tyrant in a lot of nations, but they have elections in North Korea – well, not North Korea, but they have elections in Iran. You know, there's no – they don't give you a choice.
They have elections in North Korea too. It just came out 100% in favor of Lil' Kim getting another term.
Lil' Kim. We'll be back after this for hour two of Michael Dean After Dark.
Listen to Michael Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things.
I'll be back with more later on.
I'm never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
È stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
no vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is Michael Dean. Michael Dean.
Michael Dean After Dark.
I called in Free Talk Live today to talk about Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and raising money to get him to Porkfest. And Ian asked me about this show. And he said, what's your new show called? And I said, oh, my new show is called
Michael Dean After Dark.
And you can listen to
Michael Dean After Dark. I just got up on the mic like, hey, it's late night each time I did it.
Yeah, so if you want to call in and talk about agorism or your service for your country or Die Totenhosen, which means the dead pants in German, and that's a band we're going to talk about. The number is 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. Or you can Skype in to kittyfeet. Kittyfeet1. K-I-T-T-Y-F-E-E-T 1. So, Lusander.
Yo.
You were going to talk about unlicensed food. I read somewhere that, like, that was all the craze in Brooklyn now, was people, like, just setting up a restaurant in someone's house for a day and serving, like, five people really, really good food without a license. And people are saying, we need to do something. And I'm thinking, like, that's just having friends over, man. Why do you got to do something about that?
Actually, it's happening in a lot of different places. And what you're talking about, I had this discussion with a Republican candidate for the U.S. Congress during the 2012 election cycle or cycle or whatever. Yeah. Well, now, hey, know your enemy. But anyhow, we were talking about licenses and engaging in commerce and all this other stuff. And being the typical Republican socialist that he says, well, you got to have a license because that's commerce. And it's like, my God. Can't you just let people be happy?
That's like, you know, there was this bumper sticker that was pretty popular in San Francisco when I lived there as a, you know, pro-lesbian thing. It was a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. I thought that was pretty funny. And it's you know, that guy is saying, like, you can't have commerce without a license. That's like saying you can't have a fish without a bicycle, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then he sings praises to the free market.
They all do. All those small government Republicans that want to take away your rights and say they're giving you rights when really rights come from within. And no politician has ever given anyone anything that they didn't steal or didn't take away from someone else. And that they don't give any rights. They limit rights. Everything they do, every law they pass. I mean, what should be illegal? Murder, theft, fraud, aggression, coercion. Those things have been illegal since there was any kind of legal system. Every law that's passed after that is just stealing something from you.
Exactly. And there's a meme that I saw on the Face Spaces not too long ago. It has this it's a three-part meme. It's got the farmer up on the top, and he's got a thing of oranges and says, I have all these oranges, but I could sure use some cash. And then in the middle section, it has this very pretty woman, and she's got a handful of loot. Well, they're FRNs, but anyway. And she says, I would really love some oranges, and I have this cash that I can part with. And then below that it's got the line of Agent Smiths from The Matrix that says, stop, we must be a part of this transaction.
And yeah.
It's so square.
It always any intervention by any agencies just comes down to tax collection. It just comes down to rent seeking in something that they didn't have anything to do with. It always reminds me of that saying, this is an A to B conversation. You should see your way out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we've talked enough about how the government sprinkles tyranny on everything.
We just lost this game show. This is a, Michael Dean After Dark is a game show where the loser is the person who brings up tyranny, and we both brought it up. And Bill Buford is going to get jealous because I don't let him talk about tyranny on here because he talks about it so often and so well everywhere else that I'm like, I might let somebody else sneak a little bit of tyranny in, but I'm not letting Bill sneak any in just to kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you had this like incredible martial artist and you wanted to, you know, you could have him beat people up on stage all day and it's not interesting. What you should do is like, okay, you know, tie his right hand behind his back and then see how he does. And that's kind of what I'm doing with Bill of the no tyranny rule. The no tyranny rules for everybody, but I'm really going to enforce it with Bill because I want to hear him talk about jazz.
Yeah, well, he is wonderful about talking about the tyranny, but since everything's getting broken by government, let's freedom fix it. Going back to the different food stuff, those little intimate dining experiences that you're talking about, these things are popping up everywhere. And yeah, they're unlicensed, but you know the people that are going there don't seem to care. And
yeah, and think about like even with government regulation and inspection, how often they recall everything that because it's killing somebody.
Yeah, and it's just a false sense of security anyway, because every medication that's recalled by the FDA was once approved by the FDA.
Yeah,
but and you have all these different places are popping up, and they have, you know, you have some really top name chefs, you know, people that are in that community. You know, they go to these type of things. They know these chefs that are preparing these meals. And something else is coming up is the food trucks.
Yeah, you know, the thing with the great chefs doing the underground cooking on their day off, it's kind of like how, like, you know, Jimi Hendrix, when he was playing stadiums, would, when he didn't have a gig or even after a gig, he'd go to some blues club where there'd be 50 people and jump up and jam, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the people are going there and they're getting great food. The chef is going there and maybe he's getting a little bit of money or maybe he's getting the satisfaction of seeing happy faces, whatever it is, you know, but.
And it's also people who are in a really high pressure corporate environment love to kind of go slum, love to go do something on the side. You know, I mean, I saw Les Paul play a dinner theater in New York City, great steak. And it was like $40. You know, for to watch him, a legend. Like the guy's got every rock and roll guitarist plays a guitar named after this guy, designed by this guy. And I saw him. I was 12 feet away from him, sitting at a table. Like after during the breaks, he was sitting at his table with his band eating dinner, and I could hear what they were talking about. And you know, that's kind of him slumming, but it's kind of just him doing something he wants to do on a small level. And it was great. And I will take that to my grave, man. It was one of the coolest things I ever did.
That is just such an amazing story. And the happiness that is available out there, the things that people can do when they just get together and act on their own behalf, you know, it's amazing. Let me get back to these food trucks. Karen DeCoster has been writing a little bit about the food trucks that are popping up in Detroit. And it's not just your typical roach coach with the old moldy sandwiches and the bags of, you know, mini bags of potato chips and stuff like that. And you have a lot of really good stuff that's being prepared, you know, I mean, just different specialties all over the place, and they're getting put in the warmers, and they'll go out there to a particular location.
Did you say warmers or wormers?
Warmers.
Okay.
Well, maybe the fish trucks use wormers, but you have all these different Mexican foods, and you know, a lot of it's finger food, but it's just beyond the regular vending machine garbage that you would expect. Because everybody's dealt with a roach coach at one time or another, and they bought the sandwich that was wrapped up and had an expiration date that had been crossed out 3 or 4 times.
Because they reuse the wrappers. They pick them up out of the trash and reuse them probably.
Yeah. Actually, you don't run into a whole lot of that. And I had this conversation with somebody. But without the government, people would just be poisoning everybody intentionally because killing your customers is such a great economic strategy.
No, man, you want them to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tried explaining this to her, and she eventually got it. But, oh, my God, the market is such a wonderful thing. The market is what has provided humanity with the means to live a happy life where you're not just scratching around in the dirt looking for worms and bugs to eat.
I will. Speaking of going to my grave, I'm going to be 50 here in May. So I'm thinking a lot about my mortality, but I'm not depressed about it. I'm pretty happy that I'm doing all the things I'm doing because, you know, I was a drug addict and I could have been dead in a ditch many times over. And I got clean right before I got 30. And looked around, I was like, what am I going to do, man? I thought I was going to be a rock star and dead, but I'm not famous and I'm alive. So I had to like look for new things to do, got into computers, got into podcasting, got into writing books, got into making movies, and got into just networking with the world, man. And, you know, I will go to my grave, whether that grave comes, you know, soon in a hail of ATF or FCC gunfire for just not even doing anything illegal just because they want to, or, you know, when I'm 97 surrounded by loved ones and cats calmly, you know, smiling, regardless of when that comes, my main thought most of the time is the market is great and people are great when they're just left alone to trade with each other. And government just gets in the way of that. I just want to tell everyone I meet, the government doesn't do anything useful. All they do is take. All they do is destroy. All they do is murder, steal, coerce, threaten, and just screw things up. I mean, the great saving grace of them is that they're grossly inefficient. And anything that they do that's positive, like trash collection or mail delivery, could be done much more efficiently and cheaper by the private market without all of that other yucky stuff.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to rein you in because you're going off on the tyranny route.
I'm sorry. Ding, ding, ding. We need a bell or something.
Yeah. Let's freedom fix this stuff.
All right.
A lot of these food trucks, particularly in the Detroit area, from what I understand, are unlicensed, which means that they're outliers.
Gasp.
Yeah, they're going out and they're making people happy without permission and the licenses and magic pieces of paper issued by a government office. And the most important thing is people don't care. They don't care about the license. They care about the food. They know that they're able to take a look at the food. They're able to eat it. They're able to not get sick by it. They're able to enjoy it. And they say, hey, fine by me. And it's very anarchistic. And something that we have to realize, and when I say we, I mean all of us, and I'm not using it in a collectivist tense. Most of our life is anarchistic. Every time you make a decision for yourself without being told to do something, that's a form of anarchy.
Every time you have Thanksgiving with your family, it's anarchy. Although,
or your friends.
Some Thanksgiving dinners are more chaos than anarchy. Because there are people that shouldn't be together, getting together once a year and drinking too much.
Yeah, and usually when that's the case, it's compulsory.
Yeah, because they feel they have to be there. And when we come back, I want to have Lou tell me a little bit more about unlicensed things going on in Detroit, including private security services that are better than the police.
Worms.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is Michael Dean After Dark. If the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, call in at 1-855-660-4261. That's 1-855-660-4261. I've been talking with my friend Lou Sander here about unlicensed agorist fun. And you had a comment. What was it? You're having fun. Here, have some government.
Yeah. Right now, I have a high-capacity coffee mug in front of me.
Yeah, what do
you
call it?
It's locked and loaded.
What do you call it? A mugazine?
Yes, it's my mugazine, but I'm locked and loaded. I'm not afraid to use it.
A mugazine. Yeah. Ernie Hancock told a really funny story the other day on Freedom's Phoenix. He said he was at Porkfest, and he was wearing a yellow rain slicker because it just finished raining. He said some lady came up to him and was like, "Excuse me, officer, there are people smoking marijuana over there." And he's like, "Well, I guess I am a plump, middle-aged guy with short hair and a yellow rain slicker, but I might look like law enforcement, but I'm not, and I don't really care." And the lady was like, "Who do I report this to?" I'm like, "What was she doing there? She must have just been camping there or something." Oh, we got a call. We got Nick from Oregon calling. Isn't that how you say it there, Nick? Oregon? Oregon,
no,
right?
No, it's Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah.
What's up, Nick?
I get that all the time, though. Oregon.
What's on your mind?
I want to talk about the privatization, you know, of the regulations of the free market.
Now, when you say privatization, do you mean like actually privatizing government things or replacing them with private industries that do the same thing better?
Replacing them with...
Yeah, because they're different. I like to clarify that, because when most people hear the word privatization, they think of like, oh, you know, when Germany privatized the national rail system, which basically meant they put it in charge of someone they picked that someone's brother-in-law knew, and, you know, it's not really free market. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking about like just taking like something like the FDA or the FCC and just having the free market take care of it. Now, why would that not be chaos? Like if you took those two agencies, the FDA and the FCC, and replaced them with free market alternatives, wouldn't everyone die and wouldn't all the radio stations be all over each other all the time?
Well, no. Like, so what Lucinda was talking about with the food trucks, people aren't going to go to places that they don't like, right? It's the same principle as Yelp, right? You'll have all these things, they'll be rated on some website, right? And you're not going to take the drugs that are rated bad. And the same thing with radio stations. You're not going to go to the radio stations that you don't like. If you're a uptight conservative Christian, you don't like your swearing on the radio, you're not going to listen to the radio stations that swear.
Yeah.
And if you don't want side effects from a drug and you find out from these websites, you're not going to take those drugs for the side effects, right?
Yeah, I've actually had, people always have statists always have an argument of, well, I could see getting rid of this government agency, but who would take care of the roads? And I heard a more interesting one tonight. I did an interview and somebody was like, who would take care of the power grid? And I'm like, that's the fastest thing that would be taken over by private industry and run better. I mean, my town, Casper, Wyoming, was without power in like negative 20 degree weather this year for like 24 hours one day when there was a bad ice storm. Those guys from the power company, the private power company, they were out in force working three shifts, like getting it back up, because you're not paying for power when you don't have it. And they are losing $1 million, you know, an hour or more in a city, even like 50,000 people. So they got it up really quick. But I've actually had a guy who's a gun guy who's totally like, man, the government has no right to know what my guns are. I don't want any licensing. I don't want any background checks. But he's a ham radio operator, and he says, like, we need the FCC because without it, everybody would be talking over everyone all the time. And actually, the thing is, there is technology available with digital radio transmission that's, like, so clamped down by the FCC that there can't really be innovation in it, to where you could have 100 channels on the space on the dial that now has one channel, and it would sound better. And you could even do things where it's like encrypted and people could buy a certain radio or a certain software program and be able to hear it if it was encrypted. There's all kinds of ways it could be done much better, even with limited resources like radio frequencies.
Hey, Nick, what are some of the examples that currently exist for free market regulation and monitoring of industry? What have you seen out there?
Sorry, just breathed in to the mic, but, I'd say, you know, Yelp would be one. All these things that rate different products in different places.
Yeah, man.
That would be an example.
Do you want to stick around after the break?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, if a food truck poisoned people, Twitter would shut them down in 10 minutes.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late-night shows. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
All right. This is Michael Dean After Dark, and we're going to do something really cool here. Are you there, Nick? We're not going to bring Nick back yet. We got to build the cuss dump before we put anybody on. So we're going to do something really cool here. I was talking between the shows here with my co-host, Lucander Fien. Hello, Lucander Fien.
Howdy. I refilled my magazine during the break.
Good. You're going to be up for 4 hours after the show's over.
I drink more coffee on accident than most people do on purpose.
Nice. So I decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a contest. And, I want to give back. I want to give back to the community. And I think I'm going to get Nick a good microphone because I really hate the sound of his phone and I like what he has to say. Are you there, Nick? Nick, are you there?
I am here.
Hey. Michael Dean After Dark gave you a microphone, would you use it next time you call in and start your own Liberty podcast?
I totally would. I've been actually thinking about getting a microphone.
Okay, well, I'm going to get you one. You should email me your address. I got $275 worth of Amazon cash that's burning a hole in my pocket. And that's a quality problem, man, because I came out of when I got sober when I was 30 – I was penniless and like unemployable, and now I live in a nice house with my wife, and I've learned how to support myself, and then a little bit more too. And I'm trying to give back, man. And I've had this cash for 2 days, and I've been like this Amazon cash, and it's been burning a hole in my pocket, which is a real quality problem to have. And I decided just during the break, like, I'm going to start buying microphones for people. So email me your mailing address, and I will have Amazon send you the same mic that Lou's using, so you can call in on the Skypes next time, because you really have a horrible-sounding phone, and you have a great – you say great stuff. So you should call in on it next time, and you should start your own Liberty show. Will you start your own Liberty show?
Yeah, actually, I've been talking to my dad and my grandfather. I'm 15, so I'm –
Oh.
I'll have to ask my parents before I give you my address, but
okay.
We've been talking about that is being in Oregon. You know, it's a very liberal state, and that's why I wanted to call in about the FDA. Is that something that I can hit with these guys here in Portland? Well, in Oregon, is they're a bunch of hippies, you know, hipsters. They're really into organic food, so the FDA, you know, really screws us up.
I had no idea you're 15. You sound older and mature, and I'm totally down with you asking your parents if it's okay. You can say you won a microphone on a radio contest last night, because really it was a contest. And it's like, I'm not saying like the next four people that call in are going to get a mic, but I'm gonna spend this money all on mics for people who are Liberty people and want to do something good.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Actually, I love that. It's great.
Yeah, man. How'd you find the Fiends too, and the Michael Dean's After Dark?
Actually just about a year ago, I mean, last month was my anarchy birthday.
Your anarchy.
Yeah. And, it was after Christmas. I think I had just gotten like a new iPod or something, one of these robot turds.
Yeah.
And I had the TuneIn radio app, and I was listening to, you know, OPB all of this.
What's OPD?
State is Oregon Public Broadcasting, I think. Sorry, yeah, so...
Oh, man, PBS. Public radio.
Yeah, and I was realizing, well, this stuff isn't really the news. It's all terrible. I don't like it. So I looked up Freedom in the app, and it came up with Freedom Fiends. I said, well, I'll check this out. I think it was the first thing that popped up, actually.
Cool. Thank you, Steve Jobs, from beyond the grave.
And then I started listening to you guys. You know, I've always been kind of a small government libertarian. I've been interested in politics at an early age. And then I started listening to you, anarchists, and I'm thinking, I don't buy it, but I can use these arguments about using, for decentralization of, local governments. And finally, you guys got me on taxation, and I was like, well, I'll just hop on over the fence and join you.
I'm not an anarchist anymore. I'm post-anarchist. I don't even know, who the... I want to pretend I don't even know who the president is. I do, but I don't know what the news is. I don't know what's going on. I've been so busy with this software project, Meowbit, which is like a preemptive, protect the internets before they get regulated kind of thing even more. And I don't even know what's going on in the news, man. I saw this meme the other day that was like Obama and Boehner, and it said, we've decided that will invade Russia this fall. And it had 100 likes, and people were like, that's so funny. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't know what that means, man.
What it is, it's a reference to Hitler and Napoleon invading Russia in the wintertime and dying a slow, cold, painful, miserable death. So basically what he shows is, it implies that they're idiots. Which I think is pretty much verified.
I didn't even know there was any chance of military action from the U.S. in Russia. Is there? I guess there is. I don't know.
Chances are slim to fat, but
I lived through the Cold War, man. I don't need to hear that stuff. I'm not ready to duck and cover under my radio desk.
I really don't think it's going to happen, but never underestimate the power of stupidity. Going back to the free market regulation, Nick, you mentioned Yelp and other type of squeakywheel.com type websites. Are you familiar with Underwriter Laboratories?
I'm not.
Okay. Since you mentioned Oregon hipsters, I imagine most of them have numerous electronic gadgets attached to them and embedded in them, and they might even carry a few around in their hands. Underwriter Laboratories is a private rating company, and what they do is they evaluate and they test out equipment to make sure that it works properly, and they make sure that it's safe.
Yeah, when you go to a hardware store, look at electrical devices like drills and things. Some of them will have a sticker on it that says UL listed. That means that they've paid to have Underwriter Laboratories vet it as good or bad. And if it's good, they can put the sticker on it.
Mm-hmm. And when you're talking to the Oregon status with Stockholm Syndrome, just ask them how many times they've seen a commercial for a law firm soliciting clients for a class action lawsuit against an electronics company that was rated by this group. And then ask them how many times they've seen a solicitation for lawsuits against a FDA-approved drug.
Good point. And
wear a raincoat because their heads will probably explode.
We wear raincoats all the time. It's raining all the time.
Yeah. Now, something else. There's a friend of the show that has a food business, and maybe it's a little bit agorist. Maybe it's completely legit and everything else. But this person goes through a private certification company for sanitation standards and basically does what the county health board would go out there and not do properly.
I got to back you up there. You said maybe she's totally legit. I don't equate legit. That was a slip of the status tongue. That was your old you speaking, right? Because just because someone's not licensed doesn't mean they're not legitimate.
I thought I put a sarcastic tone on it.
You're so mellow tonight, man.
Parentheses.
I asked if you had roommates that you were trying to not wake up, and you're like, I live alone.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll go into another feisty libertarian rant where I forget my words.
Go ahead, man. That was awesome. It sounded like your head exploding.
Yeah.
Like he just dropped too much truth and then went.
Yeah. Well, I lost my words. The state is just maddening.
So, Nick, what good music do you like?
I'm actually a really big country fan.
Cool.
But I've been getting into rock, actually, after I heard that you were in Bomb. So I checked them out, and now I got a little bit into rock, old.
Yeah,
1980s rock. Good.
We played in Oregon a couple times. We played in we broke up in 93. We started in 86. We played in Grants Pass, Oregon, and we played in Portland a few times, and we played in Grants Pass was awesome. That place was weird. Then we played, what's the town that has like lithium in the water? Ashland.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's
did you taste the water?
Did I taste the water? Yeah. It tastes like mild soap or something.
Yeah, it's gross.
Nick, what are the 80s bands that you like when you say 80s rock?
I can't name them. I'm not that into rock.
How about Queensryche?
Queensryche.
The thing about the 80s rock and the hair metal, they might have dressed like women, but the guitarist could actually play guitar and the singers could actually sing. And
well,
they could belt it out.
80s rock also brought down the Berlin Wall. I mean, Ronald Reagan took credit for it and got in front of the parade when it was already about to happen anyway. But, you know, Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi going over and playing, you know, West Berlin loud enough next to the wall for East Berlin to hear it and see it up on rooftops, that really gave them a taste of, like, this is the market, this is the West, this is the freedom. And that's what brought down the wall more than anything any politician did.
Yeah, so did Levi Strauss. Levi Strauss was just as instrumental as Billy Joel and all the other musicians. Because Ben talked about this on his show one day. In the early 80s, I think it was, the Soviet Union, the government there, admitted that at least 20% of their economy was the black market.
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about illegal drugs and prostitution and all the other illicit
stuff.
Talking
about blue jeans and rock and roll cassettes.
It was consumer goods. It was medications that you could not get going through the government economy. And if it wasn't for that black market, you know, even more people would have died. It was literally necessary for survival. And what was really nice was, and I've read quite a few books on the Soviet Union, just about everybody there was subverting the system. Factories would run 8 hours a day for the government, 16 hours a day for the other economy. and here's the thing. The regime was so anti-capitalism, you know, they called the black market creeping capitalism over there, but they were so anti-capitalism that they implemented the death penalty for many economic crimes.
Wow.
And despite the death penalty, the people kept going and they kept doing this stuff because it was the only way to survive. You know, you can follow the system and starve to death, or you can violate the system and have a full belly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Do they teach that stuff in school still?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think they ever did.
Uh-huh. No, they don't.
I'm asking Nick.
No, they don't.
What do they teach in school now? How to vote?
Actually, yeah, I have a teacher who I've got this great class, Global Issues. So fun because I get to practically dictate the conversation with anarchy talk.
We'll be back.
But I always go on about.
We're going to break here.
How not to vote. Oh, sorry.
All right. Thanks for your call, Nick.
Yeah.
Worms, Nick.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark. And yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. This is Michael Dean After Dark, which is the cutting edge of Serbo-Croatian technology of Liberty Media. Do you get that reference there, Lou? The cutting edge of Serbo-Croatian technology?
Movie Dragnet, talking about their fine new police vehicle, the Yugo.
The Yugo, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about during the break about we're going to do this last segment where we send people away happy, talking about the difference between what's done under fascist, communist, not free market, and what's done under more free market. And what did you say? What came from what and what came from what?
Well, there is no truly free market out there. So long as there is any state meddling and interfering in it, you just have free-ish. And I mean, basically, the U.S. economy is not quite as prison-like as the Soviet Union was. Here is just wearing like an ankle monitor. But if you look at what you get out of the Soviet or the socialist countries versus the free-ish countries. Jeffrey Tucker said this a while back when I was at that convention thing, and he says, you always see these movies where you have this dystopian government-controlled area, and it's all high-tech and modern and all this sort of stuff. Brave New World is a perfect example of that. But when you look at how it works out in real life, when you have a totalitarian state, a dystopian empire-type thing, it looks like East Germany. It looks like Cuba. It looks like the Soviet Union, Cambodia, North Korea, where they have no electricity. And it looks like Detroit, where they have no windows.
Yeah, but those places where they have no electricity, like North Korea, they still make lots of very functional weapons to arm the state. And the Yugo is a really good example, because that's a horrible car that was made in communist Yugoslavia. The same factory that made those cars also made some really, really good AK-47s. I have one.
Well, the state has its priorities.
Yeah. And think about communist Russia. You know, people were starving and waiting in line for bread lines in the Soviet Union, but they had really amazing tanks and AK-47s and fighter jets and all sorts and nuclear bombs and all sorts of things. Yeah, it's their priority, man. They don't want to do anything good or beautiful or precious or helpful. They just want to make weapons of destruction to destroy their people and keep them in line and scare the rest of the world.
Yep. And I mean, a perfect example of lousy cars versus good cars, the socialist state of East Germany provided the Trabi, which is probably below the Yugo in quality and usability. And the semi-socialist state of West Germany provided Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, and the fascist state of Germany before that provided the Volkswagen, which has turned into a pretty good car, but if you've ever ridden in an old Volkswagen, they're not terribly comfortable. The ones before the 60s.
Oh yeah, those things are
like riding
pretty rough riding.
Like riding in it, they feel and sound like riding in a tractor, but faster.
Yeah, or a tank.
Yeah, a tank that's made out of like pressed tin instead of steel, hard steel.
Yep. But the market has provided wonderful things. The market has provided excellent clothing, has provided food options. Did you see the video of the late 80s Soviet grocery store?
Yeah, it's really disturbing.
Yeah, in this video, you have a little bit of meat in the cooler, and it's wrapped haphazardly, and now people are sniffing it to find out if it's fresh or just how spoiled it is, and it's like they're unloading stuff off of the truck and putting it out to sell, but they're not even taking it out of the boxes. People are filling up their carts with stuff out of the boxes. And the Soviet Union brought bread lines. I was in Trader Joe's yesterday, and it was just loaded with all these different types of fruits and vegetables, and
yeah,
the market has provided everything that the state cannot.
The Trevin had a 2-stroke engine. It's basically a lawnmower.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, y'all. Thanks, Worms. Listeners. Thanks, Lou. Worms.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had.
Hey, guys, good show.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Actually,
we don't usually get compliments from the board op. That's kind of awesome.
Well, I run a lot of shows, so I work like 12-hour days, and this one was actually a pretty good show.
Cool, man.
A lot of times I have to shut off my brain. So,
was there a cuss? I saw this note from you about the cuss dump.
Oh, no, just that the dump takes a little bit to build. I thought you were waiting to take on the collar until the dump built.
No, I can see. I'm building it, too, on my end. Sometimes
oh,
I'm
you
pressing
can see it?
It? Yeah.
Okay.
I can see it, and I can dump it. Yep. Cool, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for your service, sir.
Hey, you're welcome.
Bye, Randy.
Bye. Have a good one.
Yep. Alex Jones makes me have to turn off my brain. That was good, man. It was good, man. It's real. It's a loose show, and it's good, and it's fun.
Yeah, and we didn't even touch on a fraction of the stuff that I had in my little mind.
We never do. The better you get at it, the less you need notes.